Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 223, Socks and Sneakers, Monday, January 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: On the Porch, Ever-Expanding Skill Set, and Off the Shelf. Support for this podcast comes from contributors on Ko-fi, and I am so grateful for the support I have received and continue to receive from Ko-fi supporters. To show my gratitude, each quarter I offer up a prize, and you are automatically entered into the drawing for that prize by becoming a monthly contributor or making a one-time contribution. The next prize drawing will take place at the spring equinox, and the prize will be a pair of custom-made socks from Sarah of Woolen Waves. Sarah hails from the DC area, and in the past year, she has acquired a sock knitting machine. She's worked tirelessly to work through fit and style options and to really make some awesome pairs of socks. And I am very lucky to be the recipient of some of these pairs. I would like nothing better to see one of the Yarns at Yin Hu listeners win a pair of these socks. So when I announce the winner, that person will be able to work with Sarah to either choose something that's already a listing in her online shop or coordinate with her to come up with a pair of custom fit socks, and the Yarns at Yin Hu podcast will pick up the tab for those. I will be linking Woolen Waves' website on this episode show notes so you can take a look. Sarah and her mom did quite a few shows in the DC area leading up to the holiday season. They're taking a little break from shows now, but I know they'll be back in gear with shows in the spring. So if you're in that area, you might want to look her up, or you might not be able to wait for a drawing and want to contact her about sock making now. I also saw when I was on her website recently that she's interested in coordinating with indie yarn dyers to use their yarn to knit up some really fabulous samples and other things that they can use to showcase their beautiful yarn. So if any of that appeals to you, look up Sarah and Woolen Waves Custom Socks. On the Porch, I have a pair of socks going. It's been quite a while since my on-the-go project has been socks. Over the spring and summer and even early fall, I was working on several pairs of fingerless mitts to give as gifts to people who really helped me out during my chemo treatment and just treated me special, spent a lot of time and gave a lot of care. And now that those have all been completed and given away, I'm back to doing some sock knitting. My sister Jessica requested, she's my main recipient of hand knit socks, and she requested some socks with more leg and cuff than what I usually knit. And so because I like to use Knit Spin Farm self-striping yarn for the socks I knit for Jessica, I was kind of at a loss because usually I get a quantity that's about half of a regular skein because Emily and I swap sock yarn. And so I was thinking about what to do and how to get more sock out of the yarn that I was using. And then I had this idea that I would knit kind of like a fraternal twin pair where essentially I knit socks with two different yarns, but I gave them heels and toes in the other color so they work together as a set. And I talked this idea over with Jessica, and she really did like it. So I am currently working on two socks, one in Joanna's Moonlit Mischief colorway and another in her Eggnog and Pumpkin Pie Days colorway. I've finished the cuff and leg on one of the socks, and I'm knitting that to about 7 inches, something that will stick up over her boot. That was the request. And then I've begun the other cuff, and I'm maybe 3 inches into it with 4 more inches to go on the leg before I start the heel. So this will be my take-along purse project for the foreseeable future. And I'm prepared to work the socks that fit Jessica the best. So these have a very traditional heel flap, heel turn, and gusset. She really likes the 1x1 rib that I put around the arch. I start the socks with a tubular cast on and 1x1 rib for about 18 rounds. And then I shift to a 3x1 rib to give it a nice stretchy leg. And finish it off with a pretty squarish kind of toe. Nothing really pointed. No drastic decreases or that kind of thing. I love knitting socks like this. I love having a project on the go, and I enjoy knitting two socks in tandem so that I always have one going if I stall out on a part where I need to like pay a lot of attention or concentrate quite a bit on like getting the heel flap started or doing the gusset or something like that. There's always the other sock that I can just go around and around and keep that knitting going. So that's my Take Everywhere project. And when I have a bit more mind power and concentration time, I pick up work on my second Darta sweater. And Darta is a pattern by Inez Song. I'm knitting a heavily modified version of this pattern, but I like the basic bones of it, and I really wanted a cropped sweater with color work around the body of the sweater. For that, I've chosen a chart called Pusteblumen, which translates dandelion, from Wollmuschi. It's a really great pattern that you can change up to knit almost anything you like. It is not a Fair Isle colorwork pattern, though. It's more of a definitive motif that features dandelions and grasses and leaves, that kind of thing, like a botanical motif. There's no pattern repetition. It's not easy to memorize. And so for that reason, there's some concentration required to knit the chart. Initially, I plan to knit 4 repeats of a 44-stitch chart. And then when I knit a couple inches of this and really checked it by putting the project on try-it-on tubing, I found that the circumference was really going to be too small. It wasn't going to fit me. So I ripped all the way back to the ribbed split hem, and I didn't feel that I needed to make any adjustments to that. So I rejoined the hem and picked up stitches and decided to alter the chart a little bit so that instead of a 44-stitch chart, I had a 40-stitch chart and knit that 5 times around for a total of 200 stitches. And on US 5 needles, this seems more likely to accommodate the circumference that I need. So it's about time for me to once again put this on, try it on tubing, and check it out and make sure that it's going to fit and I don't need any more adjustments. But I feel pretty confident about it, and the title yarns that I'm using have held up well to the abuse of being knit, ripped out, and knit back up again. And the colors that I'm using are a lilac, kind of a purple that's madder based, and a yellow green that's weld based. But the actual dye process is a lot more complicated than that. Those are just the main botanical dye ingredients to yield these beautiful colors. And Patricia's yarn is absolutely gorgeous, a joy to knit with, and it's sitting in place so beautifully with this color work motif. So I'm very much enjoying that sweater, and since I've knit the Darta recently, it feels like a nice change to make some modifications to the pattern, but also it's fresh in my mind so that I understand how the pattern works and where I need to go. Currently, I'm knitting the smallest size of the garment, and then when I finish the color work and start working increases for the front and the neckband of the sweater and the shoulder, I will increase up to the second size of the pattern. That's what I did on my initial version, and it worked very well to accommodate my shoulders and the room that I wanted for the arm side of the sweater. So once again, that's the pattern is Darta by Inez Song. This is from the Neons and Neutrals book. And then the colorwork motif I'm using is Pusterblumen by Wollmuschi. And I will be linking both of these to a project on my Ravelry page. It's kind of unusual for me to have only two knitting projects on the needles, but as I'm working, I'm thinking a lot about some future projects that I would like to undertake. And there are two that have attracted me recently that I keep turning around in my mind, and I'm pretty sure I will be knitting one of these with many different yarns from my stash over the spring, maybe spring and summer months. So the first of these patterns is Woven Warmth by Nancy Marchant, and the second is Selvage by Julia Wilkins. And Selvage is from the most recent and the final issue of Pom Pom Magazine, the Wovens issue. Both of these patterns feature intarsia, which will really be a stretch and a challenge for me. And both of them incorporate multiple colors of yarn and are really a great canvas for using up leftover yarn from other projects. So they take like smaller amounts of lots of colors. So I have both of these patterns. I have been looking at the directions and samples of the pattern that other people have knit as they've come up on Ravelry. And I just keep turning it over in my mind, which one might be the one that I start on. I think these both go into the, you know, highly challenging, lots of bang for your buck kind of finished objects that are, they really arrest your attention because they're colorful and intricate, and I feel equal to undertaking something along those lines. So I'm not sure which one yet, but I think one of them is in my future. Ever expanding skill set. This past Saturday, January 20th, I took a sneaker making class at my local Sew and Vac, Pocono Sew and Vac in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. I signed up for this class, October, November. I noticed it came up in a newsletter I received from the store, and I was super interested in doing some kind of shoemaking as a way to address like one of the frontiers of a mostly handmade wardrobe. The class included over 6 hours of instruction plus a sneaker making kit and a booklet. It's instructed by Joan Riddell of Buckleby Patterns, and the class, the sneaker making class, is kind of termed Happy Feet, and that's the title on the guide and so on. I've been looking forward to this. I haven't mentioned it on the podcast, but I have really been looking forward to this for a very long time. And so Saturday came. There had been a ton of bad weather in the days before, but the class was on, and in I went with my sewing machine and all my fabric selections and all the supplies that I was supposed to have and everything like that. When I take a course like this as an educator, I feel that I'm actually taking three different courses. I'm taking the course to learn the instruction that, you know, is being advertised. So it's a sneaker making class. I'm taking it because I want to learn to make sneakers. I'm also taking the course watching the instructor and trying to glean any information, insight, techniques, skills, anything possible about teaching, even though this instructor is teaching nothing like the content I teach and she's working nowhere like the place I work. Still, she's an educator, and it could be a really interesting way to learn a lot. And third, I'm taking the class as a means of developing my capacity for empathy with my students. Putting myself in the place of the learner instead of the place of the expert who has all the answers or who has, you know, authority in the class and over the material. That's a really different thing. It's a humbling thing, and I think it's an important ingredient to being an educator, to put yourself in that situation sometimes. In the case of Happy Feet, the sneaker making class, I had abundant opportunity for the third kind of learning experience, because about 15 minutes into the class, I felt like I was an hour behind. And there are a couple reasons for that. One is that I brought with me fabrics that I wanted to upcycle, and I had sort of undeveloped but also kind of specific ways that I wanted to use these fabrics in combination, like what I wanted to use for the lining and what I wanted to use for the tongue of the sneaker and what I wanted to use for the outside. And it involved not fussy cutting exactly, but it involved pattern placement over very specific areas of the fabric and kind of thinking things through in a way that perhaps other people in the class were not doing. It was also primarily a quilting class. The instructor said, "We're making a 3D quilt. We're making a quilt that fits around your foot." And even though I have a lot of sewing experience, I don't have a lot of quilting experience. And so that aspect was a little more challenging for me. And it's also possible that I have a little slower processing speed these days than I have in the past. So all of a sudden, everyone was sort of over on the side of the room using tools that I was not prepared to use yet. And I really felt it. It really hit me like, some people are going to leave the class with finished sneakers today, and I don't think I'm one of those people. And what am I going to do with this? Like, how am I going to handle it? How am I going to make the most of this situation? And the fact that I left the 6 hours without finished sneakers, but still feeling really confident about where I was, is a testament to my fortitude and also the expertise of the instructor, because she didn't help me make the kind of sneakers she wanted me to make. She helped me make the sneakers I wanted. And not every kind of educator can do that. And she did, and I wasn't the only one in the class, so she was giving attention to a lot of different people. So even though I didn't leave the class with finished sneakers, on Sunday, after several hours of working slowly at my own pace, I finished them, and I'm completely happy with these sneakers. And it was really a lot of learning opportunity for me, both in learning new skills and developing empathy for students who often find themselves in the same situation. And that can, you know, that can be really difficult emotionally, and it can feel overwhelming. And there can be techniques, you know, to help advocate for yourself and keep yourself motivated and directed, even though things aren't turning out the way you want. So, the teacher, Joan Riddell, had a number of things that she said to us. I wrote some of them down, but I was pretty involved in working on my sneakers, and I neglected to write down some other, you know, morsels of wisdom that she shared with us throughout the day. She said, measure twice, cut last, which I thought was a really interesting update on the measure twice, cut once adage, and emphasized the importance of the fact that when you're making a shoe, unlike when you're making a garment, the wiggle room between sizes is a lot less. So doing something in a sloppy way or not adhering to the pattern or the directions can go badly a lot more quickly than it could if you were working on a garment with, you know, really big seam allowances and things like that. She also asked, she kind of surveyed the class and said, who in here has made sneakers before? And no one raised their hand. And then she shared that she estimated she had made 20 some pair of sneakers over the course of her career recently, when she's kind of devoted herself to this sneaker making. And then she said, so if you have a question, who do you think you should ask? So everyone said, you, of course, the person with the sneaker making experience. I found this so comforting, because as an educator and as an empathetic person, when I'm taking a class, I often feel that a fellow classmate will ask me what to do or ask me questions. And I think that's a general thing, to ask questions of your peers or your fellow participants. And it can be really easy to lose focus on your own thing that you're doing by spending your attention on somebody else. So with this statement, she sort of reinforced her authority as the expert in the room and took everybody else off the hook for helping one another or stopping work on their project to help someone else. She was capable of doing it, and if we had questions, we should ask her. And I did. I consulted her on a number of different decisions that I had to make over the course of the class. And each time she gave precise and helpful information that really helped me work toward the sneakers that I wanted. And the sneakers that I wanted were made with some upcycled fabrics and some remnants from my friend Dee. And I use them to create this like one of a kind, not matching pair of sneakers that are absolutely fun and gorgeous. So I'm putting, there's already photos on Instagram, but I will put some photos in the show notes for this episode. And I feel like I can wear them. I'm proud of them. I'm satisfied with the result. And as the teacher suggested, I'm sort of already processing what I might do on another pair coming up. So Joan Riddell's business is called Buckleby Patterns. She sells a lot of helpful quilting, bag making, sneaker making tools and kits online. And she's also doing classes like the one I took all over. She's going to conferences and quilt festivals, and she's teaching at different schools and sewing shops and things. So it may be that a class like this is available in your area, and I will link to her information so that you can check it out if you're interested. For Off the Shelf today, I'm going to share a poem by American poet Nancy Willard. And I was initially attracted to a poem titled "The Snow Arrives After Long Silence," because we've had quite a bit of snowfall here in January following just a little bit of snowfall for the past several years. But then when I was looking around a little bit more on the Poetry Foundation website, I found her poem, "How to Stuff a Pepper." And I'm going to share that instead because I feel like it ties into some of these notions of teaching and empathy that I've been talking about. There's quite a extensive write-up of Nancy Willard and her writing. She passed in 2017 in Poughkeepsie, New York. So she had been working locally here to me. And one of the comments in this biographical essay about her is that everything Willard writes affirms her belief in the magic view of life. That is, a view of life that incorporates the imagination and stresses the appropriateness of things meant to be taken metaphorically. So here is "How to Stuff a Pepper" by Nancy Willard. "Now," said the cook, "I will teach you how to stuff a pepper with rice. Take your pepper green and gently, for peppers are shy. No matter which side you approach, it's always the backside. Perched on green buttocks, the pepper sleeps. In its silk tights, it dreams of somersaults and parsley, of the days when the sexes were one. Slash open the sleeve as if you were cutting a paper lantern, and enter a moon spilled like a melon, a fever of pearls, a conversation of glaciers. It is a temple built to the worship of morning light. I have sat under the great globe of seeds on the roof of that chamber, too dazzled to gather the taste I came for. I have taken the pepper in hand, smooth and blind, a runt in the rich evolution of roses and ferns. You say, I have not taught you to stuff a pepper? Cooking takes time. Next time, we'll consider the rice." Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful week and it contains time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.